You're listening to Rowan Radio On Demand. Download more podcasts at rowanradio.com.
The following program does not represent the views or opinions of the staff or administration of Rowan University or Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM.
Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM proudly presents The Rowan Report, a weekly news magazine that recaps local, national, and international news that affects you. And now, the Rowan Radio News Team.
Good morning and welcome to The Rowan Report here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM. I'm Allie Bruce with the Rowan Radio News Team. Some of this week's headlines include: a Maryland bridge collapsed after a boat ran into it, Princess Kate was diagnosed with cancer, and New York and New Jersey governors are pledging to help alleviate the supply chain issues caused by the bridge collapse. Here's your national news recap for the week of March 24th. Officials in Baltimore say they have recovered bodies of two of the missing workers on the Francis Scott Key Bridge when it collapsed. Maryland Governor Wes Moore said on Wednesday that efforts will now shift to salvage and recovery. He wants to add that the state has submitted a request to the Biden administration for emergency relief funds and that he spoke with the president by phone. Four others who remain missing are presumed dead. An investigation into the incident could take up to 2 years to complete. Tributes and condolences continue to pour in from political leaders for former Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont called the former senator a man of integrity and conviction. Senator Chris Murphy was shocked at Lieberman's sudden death and said there was no political carbon copy of Lieberman, as he was one of a kind. Representatives John Larson and Rosa DeLauro said Lieberman was a great champion of America and a dear friend. Lieberman, who was the Democratic nominee for vice president in 2000 under Al Gore, died following complications from a fall. A four-term U.S. senator, Lieberman was the first Jewish-American candidate on the national ticket of a major party. Donald Trump is seeking to have his Georgia election interference case dismissed on First Amendment grounds. Trump's lead attorney argued in court Thursday the indictment should be thrown out because the former president's actions related to the 2020 election were political speech and advocacy protected by the First Amendment. Trump and 18 others were indicted by Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis for their alleged efforts to overturn Trump's 2020 election defeat in the state. The hearing is the first since a judge ruled Willis can continue to oversee the case against Trump, after Trump's legal team tried to have her disqualified due to a romantic relationship with her lead prosecutor. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is targeting undocumented migrants convicted of serious drug offenses. Officials announced Thursday more than 200 arrests nationwide of non-citizens who have been convicted of drug trafficking or multiple drug possession offenses involving meth, fentanyl, cocaine, or synthetic drugs. Many of those arrested are expected to be quickly removed from the U.S. ICE officials said the arrests were part of a 12-day operation that identified more than 400 non-citizens subject to law enforcement action. The House will send impeachment articles against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate next month. House Republicans impeached Mayorkas last month for his handling of the U.S.-Mexico border. Speaker Mike Johnson will send the articles of impeachment to the upper chamber on April 10th. The Democratic-controlled Senate isn't expected to convict Mayorkas, and senators could move to quickly dismiss the impeachment. Mayorkas is the first cabinet secretary to be impeached in almost 150 years. FTX co-founder Sam Bankman-Fried will spend over two decades behind bars after being sentenced for his role in the company's cryptocurrency exchange scandal. This comes 4 months after he was found guilty of orchestrating the multi-billion dollar fraud leading to the collapse of FTX in 2022. The 32-year-old Bankman-Fried, once hailed as a crypto king, was convicted by a federal grand jury in New York City back in November on all counts of fraud and conspiracy he faced. Federal prosecutors were seeking as much as 50 years, while Bankman-Fried's defense team asked for 6.5 years or less. Bankman-Fried apologized to the court on Thursday and said the collapse of the company haunts him every day. President Biden is offering his condolences after a New York City police officer was killed during a traffic stop in Queens earlier this week. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said the president offered his support to New York City Mayor Adams and the NYPD following the tragedy. This as Biden was in New York City Thursday for a high-profile fundraiser featuring former Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. Biden's political rival Donald Trump, meanwhile, is attending the fallen NYPD's officer's wake in Long Island. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie won't run against Donald Trump on a third-party unity ticket with no labels in the 2024 presidential race. Christie had challenged the former president for the Republican nomination, but exited the race in January. He was the most vocal Trump critic of the GOP candidates. Students' college decisions could be delayed because of a FAFSA calculation mistake by the Department of Education. The error impacted several hundred thousand financial aid forms. The new FAFSA process has already been ridiculed with complications, including delays and glitches because of an updated version released this year. CEO of the National Association of Student Federal Aid Administrators said every error adds up and will be felt acutely by every student who is counting on need-based financial aid to make their post-secondary dreams a reality. A 22-year-old man has been arrested in connection with a stabbing spree Wednesday afternoon in Rockford, Illinois, that left four people dead, including a U.S. postal worker and a teenage girl, and seven other victims injured, police said. The suspect, Christian Soto, was arrested in the frenzied attack, according to the Rockford Police Department. Soto faces four counts of murder and seven counts of attempted murder, as well as two counts of home invasion with a dangerous weapon, authorities said. A motive for the attack remains under investigation. I'm Allie Bruce, and that was your national news.
I'm Gavin Trutzenbach with your international news report. All three of today's international stories come from BBC. The Princess of Wales says she is in the early stages of treatment after a cancer diagnosis. In a video statement, Catherine says it was a huge shock after an incredibly tough couple of months. But she sent a positive message saying, "I am well and getting stronger every day." Details of the cancer have not been disclosed, but Kensington Palace says it is confident the princess will make a full recovery. The video statement from Catherine explains that when she had abdominal surgery in January, it was not known that there was any cancer. The princess said, "However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I am now in the early stages of that treatment." The chemotherapy treatment began in late February. The palace says it will not be sharing any further private medical information, including the type of cancer. The princess, 42, said she was thinking of all those who have been affected by cancer, adding, "For everyone facing this disease, in whatever form, please do not lose faith or hope. You are not alone." Catherine said recovery from her surgery in January, for a condition which has not been revealed, had taken time, and the priority was now reassuring her family. She said, "William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family. It has taken us time to explain everything to George, Charlotte, and Lewis in a way that is appropriate for them, and to reassure them that I am going to be okay." She said the family now needs some time, space, and privacy. The King and Queen had been informed of the news about the princess's health prior to Friday's announcement, and King Charles himself has also been undergoing treatment for cancer. King Charles and Catherine were briefly treated at the London Clinic private hospital at the same time. Catherine had her abdominal surgery there, and the King was admitted for a corrective procedure for an enlarged prostate. A Buckingham Palace spokesperson said the King was so proud of Catherine for her courage in speaking as she did. After their time in hospital together, he has remained in the closest contact with his beloved daughter-in-law throughout the past weeks. Prince Harry and Meghan sent a message saying, "We wish health and healing for Kate and the family, and hope they are able to do so privately and in peace." In our next international story, France has moved a step closer to banning discrimination in the workplace against hairstyles. A bill has been approved in the French National Assembly and will now be debated in their Senate. The law will bar employers from requiring hair to be straightened and for afros, dreadlocks, and braids to be covered. Its author hopes the law will support those, particularly black people, who have faced workplace hostility. The bill does not specifically target race-based discrimination, though that is the law's primary motivation. It will also protect blondes and redheads, as well as bald victims of what it calls hair prejudice. It was proposed by Olivier Serva, an MP from the French Caribbean island of Guadeloupe, who presented an American study which pointed out that a quarter of black women said they had been ruled out for jobs because of how they wore their hair at the interview. Mr. Serva said, "People who don't fit in Eurocentric standards are facing discrimination, stereotypes, and bias." Critics of the bill say existing French law already bans the compilation of personal data about an individual's race or ethnic background on the basis of the French Republic's universalist principles. But anti-racism campaigners say the fact that the bill does not include the term racism is problematic, given many, including public figures, have faced negative comments online because of the way their natural hair looked. In our third and final international story, China has announced it will remove significant tariffs on Australian wine in another key sign of improving relations between the two countries. Beijing imposed taxes of more than 200% in 2020 amid a string of economic blows to Australian exports. That year, Beijing targeted Australian coal, barley, timber, and lobsters as part of a wider political falling out. But China-Australia relations have improved since a new Canberra government was elected in 2022. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese welcomed the announcement from the Chinese Commerce Ministry on Thursday, saying his government had also managed to reduce other trade barriers. Last August, China removed the tariffs it had imposed on Australian barley, another key commodity that had been targeted. Prime Minister Albanese said in a statement, "This outcome affirms the calm and consistent approach taken by the Albanese Labour government and follows the success of the similar approach taken to remove duties on Australian barley." He also said his government was still lobbying China on removing remaining tariffs on commodities such as beef and lobster. China had previously been the most lucrative market for Australian winemakers, accounting for nearly a third of all bottles shipped overseas. Australian wine representatives said the industry lost $2.1 billion Australian dollars, equivalent to $1.37 billion US dollars, in the year after China was shut off. Despite pivoting to other markets, winemakers struggled to sell the volume of bottles to other countries and have faced a significant glut in recent years. I'm Gavin Trutzenbach, and that was your International News Report.
I'm Riley Adams with your local news. The governors of New York and New Jersey are pleading to do what they can to minimize supply chain disruptions following the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. In a joint statement, Governors Kathy Hochul and Phil Murphy say the tragic collapse has touched every corner of the nation. They state they have seen how indefinite port closures can impact national and global supply chains, hurting everyday consumers the hardest. They say the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey can take on additional cargo and have directed the agency to further evaluate all available resources to minimize supply chain disruptions. Punxsutawney Phil may not have much time on his hands to predict the future of early springs, as he's just become a father. The Groundhog Cub says Phil and Phyllis have given birth to two healthy babies. The babies are with their parents at the zoo inside the Punxsutawney Memorial Library. The names of the new babies have not been announced. Top New Jersey officials say they'll continue their fight against congestion pricing despite the MTA's approval of the plan on Wednesday. The MTA has greenlighted a controversial plan to charge motorists $15 to drive their cars into Manhattan below the 60th Street. Governor Phil Murphy is calling it a blatant cash grab that discriminates against New Jersey drivers. He's suing and isn't backing down, despite the fact that the MTA's 110 toll readers are in place for a mid-June start. And Congressman Josh Gottheimer says, quote, "Buckle up for the lawsuits and the public outrage, because no one messes with Jersey." One of New Jersey's most wanted criminals is under arrest. O'Dery Caldwell, who escaped a halfway house in Camden in 2019, was captured by U.S. Marshals in Ohio Wednesday. Caldwell had been convicted of robbery, aggravated assault, and endangering an injured victim, and officials called him a, quote, "violent escapee." Caldwell is being held in jail while he awaits extradition back to New Jersey. The nation's most decorated battleship, the New Jersey, has docked at the Naval Yard in South Philadelphia for a $10 million dry dock process. It's the first time in decades the New Jersey has left its home on the Camden waterfront. It's expected to return to Camden by early June for tours. The cashier who sold the winning ticket in the $1 billion Mega Millions lottery jackpot says she's excited for someone in her hometown in Neptune Juan. New Jersey lottery officials are waiting for the winner to come forward. The cashier says she wishes she could remember who bought the ticket at the ShopRite Liquor on Route 66 in Neptune. She also says she worked at the store for 3 years and plans to become a physician's assistant. The owner of the ShopRite store, which received a $30,000 commission for selling the ticket, plans to turn over the money to ShopRite Partners and Caring Program, which supports charities fighting food insecurity. City leaders are trying to prevent sexual abuse, harassment, and violence. That's why multiple Philadelphia agencies are coming together for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. It's held in April, and this year's theme is, quote, "United to Prevent Sexual Violence." Philadelphians are urged to wear teal next Tuesday for Sexual Assault Awareness Month Day of Action. Teal is the color of sexual violence prevention, and it'll show support to the survivors. Summer is right around the corner, and that's why the city is planning a parent and youth resource fair. It's set for April 27th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center on Arch Street. More information can be found online. Drivers across Pennsylvania are being warned not to drive aggressively this Easter weekend. Pennsylvania State Police say the annual enforcement called, quote, Pennsylvania Aggressive Driving Enforcement Education Program will kick off Friday afternoon and run through Sunday night. Police will be looking for not only drivers who are being aggressive, but also for speeders, seatbelt violations, cell phones being used by driving, and more. New York City is going to be testing new technology that can detect weapons in the subway system. Following a 90-day notice period, mobile weapons technology equipment will be placed at select subway stations as part of a pilot program to make the subway system safer. The NYPD will be working to identify companies with weapons detection technology, starting with a company called Evolve. Mayor Eric Adams says the new technology does not involve the use of facial recognition and will not capture people's identity. NYPD officers have seized 450 weapons in the New York City's transit system so far this year, which is a big uptick from this time last year. I'm Riley Adams, and that was your local news.
I'm Aiden Dougherty with your Rowan News. On Tuesday, Virginia Schutt and Andrew S. Lewis came to speak at Rowan about careers in science and environmental communication. Schutt is an award-winning storyteller and is enthusiastic about how science makes life better since she got her PhD in 2014. She has worked to diversify how people interact with science online. Virginia Schutt, when asked about why she chose science, said, "It's the only thing I'm interested in. Tasting it, smelling it, hearing it. Something about it I feel in my soul. There is something magical about it for me." Schutt emphasized her passion. She also mentioned her most recent project, a WhatsApp group she created while on a trip from Antarctica. She said the cool thing about it is anyone can join the group, but you can be private. The real thing that made it work is that it felt intimate. It felt more real than Twitter. Andrew S. Lewis was joined next to her. Lewis is a regular contributor to the New York Times Magazine, Yale E360, and NJ Spotlight News. His story about a Jersey Shore falconer was a notable mention in the 2023 edition of the Best American Science and Nature Writing. Lewis grew up surfing and wrote about surfing as soon as the fifth grade. As he was traveling around the world, he was realizing how quick climate change was becoming real, and this topic was a big issue. He switched gears, and Lewis gave advice to students in attendance. Knowing what to follow in my curiosity, just having a better sense of what I can write and what people are going to want from me is good. Over the years, I've gotten this level of skin thickness. As journalists, in a sense, are like performers. When you are younger, you don't want to look at the comments. Over time, you learn to pull from the judgment and the feedback. You learn from the extract. You don't want too thin or too thick of skin, so you are able to take from it. Lewis also talked about what can help young writers. He said, "Twitter has been a huge help. You have to build a network. You read stories that you like, you get connected with that writer, you make those connections, but a big part of it for me is pitching. Editors also put out calls for pitching online." He also added, "LinkedIn has been better for writers." His last message was a message both Schutt and him agreed on. Make sure you are writing for what you think you're worth. Don't work for next to nothing. Understand your worth as a writer. If I could tell my younger self, it would be to not be afraid to pitch editors. I'm Aiden Dougherty, and that was your Rowan News.
That does it for the first half of the Rowan Report, wrapping up this week's national, international, and local news. We are going to take a quick break. Up next, we have your weekly sports, business, and entertainment news. Stay tuned right here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM. Welcome back to the Rowan Report. I'm Allie Bruce, along with the Rowan Radio News team.
I'm Jack Miller for the Rowan Report with your news from the professional sports world. Starting with Major League Baseball, opening day kicked off on Thursday afternoon with the Angels on the road against the American League's best team last year by record, the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles' newly acquired former Cy Young winner, Corbin Burns, took the mound for the first game on the slate for opening day, and in the first inning, he gave up the first home run of the baseball season to three-time MVP Mike Trout. The Orioles answered with back-to-back crooked numbered innings with a total of 5 runs in the first two frames. RBIs were scored by Anthony Santander, Jordan Westberg, and star catcher Adley Rutschman. Baltimore pulled away with win number one of the season with 11 Ks from Corbin Burns. Other series that started were the New York Yankees and their AL rival of the Houston Astros. Nestor Cortez was the starter for the Yankees since 2023 Cy Young winner Gerrit Cole was out with an elbow injury. Cortez crumbled in the first, giving up 3 runs and then another one in the second. Juan Soto joined the Yankees this offseason and got his first hit in the first game of the season with the Yanks, with an RBI single in the fifth with the bases loaded. Some divisional rivalry matchups took place on the first day of the baseball season with the Tigers and White Sox, the Twins and Royals, the Padres and the Giants, the Blue Jays and the Rays, and the Rockies and the National League champs of the Diamondbacks. The 2023 World Series champions of the Texas Rangers start their 2024 season at home with their gold-trimmed jerseys against the Chicago Cubs. Two opening day games were postponed from Thursday to yesterday, and one of them was the Phillies' first series of the year against Spencer Strider and the Atlanta Braves in an NLDS rematch at Citizens Bank Park. Baseball fans everywhere rejoiced that the cracks of the bats and the pops of baseball gloves are back on their televisions. Switching to the hardwood, the Boston Celtics are the first team in the NBA to clinch the number one seed of the Eastern Conference before any other team has clinched the playoffs. The rest of the playoffs are really tight, especially in the Western Conference, where the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the 2023 NBA champions of the Denver Nuggets, they all manage the top seeds out west, and it's the Cavs, Knicks, and Bucks who are under the Boston Celtics in the East. With the 76ers, they're currently in the 8th seed at around 40 wins, and had a tough loss to the Clippers on Wednesday night with a final score of 108-107. Kelly Oubre of the Sixers had the final shot, and he got fouled by Paul George as Oubre was driving into the paint, but the refs swallowed their whistles, and the game ended with tempers flaring. Sixers head coach Nick Nurse and a lot of the Philadelphia team were visibly upset, and Oubre had some expletives correlating to the ref's call on the last play of the game. The fans were upset as well, and post-game, the refs admitted that they missed the final call. If the playoffs started today, the Sixers would take on the Miami Heat in the play-in tournament as they wait for superstar Joel Embiid to return from injury. Again, I'm Jack Miller for the Roan Report with your news from the professional sports world.
I'm Megan Steckler with your Roan Report business update. Wall Street is closing with stocks mixed to end the month. The markets were closed Friday because of Good Friday. This comes as the S&P 500 secured its best first quarter in 5 years and closed at another record high. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 47 points to 39,807. The S&P 500 rose by 5 points to 52-54, and the NASDAQ fell by 20 points to 16-379. The wealthiest 1% just got richer. The Federal Reserve reported the top 1% reached a record $44 trillion in combined wealth at the end of last year. The most recent gains came from stock value increases, which netted over $2 trillion in the first quarter. The 1% own around half of individually held stocks. Since 2020, their wealth has increased by almost $15 trillion. Former crypto king Sam Bankman-Fried was sentenced on Thursday in New York on fraud and conspiracy charges. Sarah Lee Kessler reports.
Prosecutors want to send the disgraced crypto boss to prison for 40 to 50 years for stealing billions of dollars from FTX customers. Bankman-Fried's now bankrupt cryptocurrency exchange. His lawyers are seeking 6.5 years behind bars. The 32-year-old was convicted last fall of stealing massive amounts of deposits before FTX collapsed the year before and using the crypto to make investments, buy property, and to donate to political candidates. Sarah Lee Kessler, NBC News Radio, New York.
Amazon is throwing more money at its investment in AI startup Anthropic. The online retail giant announced Wednesday it added $2.75 billion to its $1.25 billion investment, making the San Francisco startup Amazon's most important partner. Amazon says the partnership will further improve customers' experience. Anthropic competes with companies like OpenAI and Google to build artificial intelligence systems. I'm Megan Steckler, and this has been your Business News Report.
I'm Elle Lawton, and this is your entertainment news. A bonus episode of Quiet on Set: The Dark Side of Kids TV will stream on Max. Titled Breaking the Silence, it will first launch on April 7th on ID. According to ID, Drake Bell and other participants featured on the docuseries focused on Nickelodeon former child actors will join Soledad O'Brien to discuss the industry then and now. The fifth episode will expand on revelations from the first four episodes and discuss the future of the industry. New details have emerged about the Homeland Security raids of the Los Angeles and Miami homes of rapper Sean Diddy Combs. Dozens of heavily armed federal agents descended upon Diddy's two estates to serve search warrants connected with a sex trafficking investigation. The rapper's adult sons say they had lasers pointed at them when they walked outside the Los Angeles area mansion. Sources told the Los Angeles Times that federal agents emptied safes, dismantled electronics, and scattered papers in some rooms. Authorities spent several hours at each of the properties, and no arrests were made. Combs was in the Miami area, but not at home during the raid. Christopher Nolan is being honored by King Charles. The Oppenheimer and Batman director will become Sir Christopher Nolan, and his producing partner and wife is receiving the same, becoming Dame Emma Thomas. This comes just after Oppenheimer swept the Oscars. The first trailer is being released for Jerry Seinfeld's Unfrosted. The film tells the story of the cereal company Kellogg's creating the Pop-Tart. It follows the race between the company and its main competitor, Post, as they try to create a pastry that will change breakfast forever. The star-studded cast includes Seinfeld, Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Amy Schumer, Hugh Grant, Bill Burr, and Christian Slater. Unfrosted hits Netflix on May 3rd. A settlement is being reached between Disney and Florida after a years-long legal battle. The Central Florida Tourism Oversight District announced the entertainment company and the board have agreed to a settlement aimed at ending all lawsuits against each other. DeSantis and lawmakers set up the board to replace Disney's self-governing Reedy Creek Improvement District. The legal disputes began 2 years ago when Disney criticized a Florida education law known by critics as the Don't Say Gay Bill. Jenny Tran, a 26-year-old from Miami, will be the next lead on ABC's The Bachelorette. She'll be the first Asian-American lead in the show's two decades on the air. Tran said the opportunity feels honestly incredible. I'm Elle Lawton, and that was your entertainment news.
And that wraps up this week's edition of the Roan Report here on Roan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM. For the Roan Radio News Team, I'm Allie Bruce. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Roan Report, a weekly news magazine that recaps local, national, and international news that affects you. Be sure to join us every Saturday morning at 9:30 for another edition of The Roan Report, exclusively here on Roan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM.